Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11. James, chapter 4, verse 11. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. James chapter 4, verse 11. Father, we're thankful for another wonderful opportunity to focus our minds upon eternal truths. The Word of God is alive and powerful. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we're living in this magnificent time in history between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the body of Christ on the other hand. While we're here on the earth, help us to realize the importance of living our lives in accordance with your divine purpose and plan for us. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with James chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. There are 10 imperative verbs from verse 7 down through verse 10. And then as we get to verse 11, which is our verse for today, we have another verb in the imperative mood. Verse 7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Then verse 11, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Someone has said, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. I shall repeat because you probably would like to write that down. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. The church that James is writing was full of small-minded people who gossiped about each other and tore one another apart with their tongues. I just wonder if any one of us here today would be guilty of that particular problem. I certainly would not ask you to give any personal testimony. I don't think that would be fair to the congregation. Certainly wouldn't be fair to you if you stood and gave a testimony of how you improperly use your tongue. The tongue, as I've already mentioned, remains hidden for the most part. But when it does make its presence, so often it has devastating power. The tongue can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy, be sincere or sinister. The tongue can Xerox the good or x-ray the bad. That is not a quote from me, so I do not know exactly from whom it came, but I think it's very good. The tongue remains hidden for the most part, but when it does make its presence known, so often it has devastating power. The tongue can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy, be sincere or sinister. The tongue can x-ray the good, Xerox the good, excuse me, or x-ray the bad. Some weeks ago, we studied James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Then we got down in that passage in verses 3 through 12. And in that magnificent passage of Scripture, James uses six different words of the tongue to see how it is a small part of the body, and yet it is very powerful. I'll not repeat those in detail other than to say that James compares the tongue to a bit. It's a metaphor, the bit that is placed in a horse's mouth by a trainer. The second way that the word tongue is used is a rudder. The third way is fire. The fourth way is a dangerous animal. The fifth way is a spring. And the fourth way is fruit. And since I can compliment all of you and know that you remember everything I said when I preached those sermons, there's no need for me to repeat. Tongue in cheek. On the screen you see James 4:11a. Speak not evil one of another, brothers. Perhaps I need to repeat, since some of you were not in the first session today because you were teaching. We have an emphasis here upon a negative adverb. The first word that is used in this passage of Scripture is the little Greek word me, M-E. Over a period of time, when you hear this enough, you're going to have it without even realizing that you have it. And that is that we have in the Greek a number of negative adverbs. One of those is ou, another is ouk, another is ouk. Those three negative adverbs are what is known as powerful, strong, negative adverbs. And normally those negative adverbs are used with verbs in the sentence in the indicative mood, the mood of reality. But we have here a verb that is in the imperative mood, along with a negative adverb that is normally used with verbs in the subjunctive mood. Subjunctive mood simply means maybe yes, maybe no. However, this particular may is used with a verb in the imperative mood, which emphasizes something very powerful, I believe. It is saying by the Spirit of God through James, you folks to whom I'm writing, you're using your tongue in an improper way. Stop it. Did you notice how I said that? In other words, it's a strong way of saying, stop doing something that you're already doing. That's the reason why we have may along with a verb in the imperative mood. Is there a reason for us studying and knowing this? Of course. Speak not evil. This is an emphasis upon the fact that you and I as believers can use this little tongue either to help or hinder, to be a blessing or a curse. We have a responsibility on how we use that tongue every single day. I'm to be constantly reminded, just as you're to be constantly reminded, that God has given us this little instrument that's most of the time, I think, enclosed because our mouth is shut. But so often when that mouth is open, words come flowing out, and that tongue is used to get those words out. And oftentimes those words are words that are defaming, maligning, slanderous, backbiting, criticizing, hurting. We have to be so careful with that. That's the reason why the Spirit of God is saying through James to these people, and I believe He's saying it to us. Be careful how you use your tongue. Stop using your tongue improperly. Speak not evil. The second line of this verse says, one another of the same kind. The Greek word is the word from which we get one another of the same kind, Allah. You'll notice the way it's used here, Allah leon. It means one another of the same kind. One believer to another believer. Be careful what you're saying to unsaved individuals, but be careful what you're saying to other believers. And the reason why I know that this is one another the same kind is because of the last word that's used here. And it is the word brother. Adelphoi. Could I stop for a moment to tell you that the Greek word adelphos, which emphasizes and leaves a suffix, omicron sigma, O-S. The O-S on a word shows that that word is used as a subject of the sentence. And it's singular. When you have an omicron iota, which we have here, O-I, it emphasizes the nominative case, but it emphasizes the plural. And so it's not just one brother, it is brothers, plural. So it says, speak not evil one another to brothers. Dr. John Revel, for 15 years, SBC Life editor, I understand is now pastoring a church in a northern state, wrote an article called Acceptable Sins, Slander. Acceptable Sins. Oftentimes this happens among ministers. They put down other ministers. They belittle other ministers. Whether what they're saying is true or false, they still are putting down someone. They're using injurious speech. Defamation. Sometimes it is personal mockery. It's what I classify as malicious talk. Whether we agree or disagree with our fellow ministers, it is not our responsibility to put them down. Oh, I understand that many times we are not in agreement with others, what others are saying. But I'm reminded, as Dr. Revel said, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and he said, all bitterness and anger and wrath, insult and slander must be removed from you along with all the rest of the wickedness. You might want to write this one down, Ephesians 4:31, because there's where the Apostle Paul is saying, all bitterness, anger, wrath, insult, slander, let it be removed from you. That same emphasis is given to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But it's interesting to see that the Greek word for slander there is the Greek word blasphemia, from which we get our English word blaspheme. We know the word well, don't we? It is where we get the English word blasphemy. It was most commonly used in the New Testament to identify false and offensive statements about God. In classical Greek, it meant to bring to ill repute, defamation by which another person is damaged. It represented a strong form of personal mockery. In the New Testament, when it was directed toward another person, rather than God, it referred to abusive speech that would injure the reputation of another. In this specific passage, Ephesians 4:31, the passage identifies the word slander as malicious talk, hurtful, injurious speech. And the verb form, blasphemio, is used in Titus 3:2 in Paul's command to slander or blaspheme no one. In the Ephesian passage, Dr. Revel says, immediately prior to this command, Paul says, let no rotten talk come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone who's in need, in order to give grace to those who hear. And then he says, and don't grieve God's Holy Spirit, who sealed you for the day of redemption. Wow. You and I are sealed to the day of redemption. So let no rotten talk come from our mouths, but only that which is good for the building up of someone who's in need. Is this practical? Is this where we live? Should I move on to another subject and not bother you with this? No, I think this is where we probably ought to be right now. It is obvious in Ephesians 4:29 and 30 that the context speaks of speaking of a brother in a disparaging way of rotten talk that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we apply the Lord's command in today's setting, Dr. Revel says it verbally is maligning another's character to say things that would harm that person's reputation. Whether we do it in private conversation or whether we do it publicly, to do otherwise is to engage in rotten talk that grieves God, the Holy Spirit. What I was interested in as I studied what he had to say, he gave me another Greek word, and I love to get another Greek word. He gave me the word lodoros, L-O-I-D-O-R-O-S. And when I looked that word up, I found out that it means hurling hurtful words, throwing out words that hurt, disparaging remarks. Lodoros. Lottering. Following his indictment of his brother in sexual sin, Paul said to the Corinthians, I now know that I'm writing you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, who is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, or a reviler. And the word reviler is that Greek word, loidoros. And then it says, also a drunkard and a swindler. Do not even go out and eat with them. I didn't make this up. I'm reading it to you. From 1 Corinthians 5:11. I'm now writing you, Paul said, by the Spirit of God to the Corinthians, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother who is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a reviler, who's hurling out words that are injurious. The word reviler is translated in some versions of the Bible, slanderer, and is from the Greek word that I've just given you, loidoros. It referred to a person who hurled verbal abuse intended to injure someone's reputation. In classical Greek, the verbal form was used to indicate insulting and disparaging an opponent in political and social life. According to Mundell, one of the arts of life for Greeks was to know how to insult people. In other words, I'm going to practice. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn how I can insult you. How sad. According to Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 5, we're not even associated, it says, with Christians who speak harshly or demean other believers. In fact, we're not even to go out and eat with them. And when I read this over and I printed it so I could share it with you, I wrote myself a little note at the bottom of the page. Don't adopt a judgmental, critical attitude. Please, please get that one. Don't adopt a judgmental, critical attitude. You know why I say this? Is because everyone in this auditorium, if we're not careful, can be extremely, very, very capable of doing that very thing. That simply means that we think negatively about people. We're trying to find something in some way to put them down. That's the meaning of this word katalaleo. Kata is the prefix or the preposition which means down. Laleo is the word which means to speak. Putting the two together, it means to speak down or cast down or throw down. And isn't it interesting? And I've said this many, many times, and I heard it years ago, if we throw mud, we're going to lose ground. And that's good for me to know and remind myself, and it's good for you to know. Don't adopt a judgmental attitude, critical attitude. James is aware here that there are people who are speaking evil, slandering, criticizing, defaming others. In essence, what we find here, and I've already said it, he's saying, stop it immediately. Don't do this to brothers, Christian brothers and sisters. He that maligns or slanders is speaking evil of the law of love. 10 points. You ready? Number one. If you'll look, please, at the B part of the verse. I'm going to put it on the screen for you to see. It's on the back of your bulletin. The one speaking against a brother or judging his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Now, there's no time for me to go into all these words. I'm telling you, this passage of Scripture, though I thought it first, as I said in their first service, I'm going to just present the first part of this verse, and then we're going to move on to the next verse. And then as I got into it, and it begins to hit me, and it begins to bite me, and it begins to garble me, so to speak, and I thought, you know what? I can't go to these folk whom I love and just hit that first part of the verse and then go on away from it. I would be doing an injustice, first of all, to my study. I would be doing an injustice to the Heavenly Father. I would be doing an injustice to the congregation. I don't feel like that's the right thing to do. And that's the reason why I want you to see the B part of the verse. It says, the one speaking. Now, if you're following along in the Greek language and you're getting some words down, and you've already gotten this Greek word katalaleo, which is an imperative verb, now you're saying that same word that's used in a little different form. Look at it. Katalalelon. K-A-T-A-L-A-L-O-N. You see the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. I've written it out for you so that you can see it. It's a word that's taken from the same word that we saw in the previous part, in the A part, which is katalaleo. But notice how the word is now used. It has a suffix on it that lets me know that this is not an emphasis upon a verb, it's an emphasis upon a participle. So the participle is saying the one who is characterized by speaking against a brother. The person who is a believer who is characterized in his lifestyle, her lifestyle, by continually thinking negatively about individuals. The reason that I emphasize this is because I believe if we're not careful, we're going to have an attitude in life of negativism rather than in positivism. We're going to be looking at what we can find bad about individuals. We're looking to see what we can find that's bad about circumstances and events. We're trying to find something that's not good. Do you realize that the sun is shining today? Oh, it could be raining. And when it's raining, oh, it could be sunshine today. I'm looking for it to be something that we don't have right now. I'm negative about it. It's too hot. It's too cold. That person doesn't look right. They're not dressed right. You look at television. I don't know why they're wearing the same dress. Every time I see them on television, they're wearing the same dress. Isn't that something? Negative, negative, negative. Always something bad. I mean, now, don't take this personal. I'm not taking on anyone personally, even though I may have heard you say something like that. It's something I've said too. You see what I'm saying? We are so gifted in criticizing. We are so gifted because of our old sinful nature of putting people and events and circumstances down. It's just lifestyle. It's just a function that we find ourselves in as a result of us yielding to the control of our old sinful nature. This says, remember what has been said in the A part of the verse. The A part of the verse says, whatever you do, don't be speaking negatively, evil toward individuals. I'm looking back at that part of the verse. Speak not evil one of another, brothers. Stop talking idly. Stop talking irrationally. Stop talking excessively. Stop talking foolishly. Don't utter sounds or words imperfectly, indistinctly, or without meaning. Don't be a babble. Careless babble. Prattle. Chatter. James is aware of these people who are speaking evil, slandering, criticizing, defaming others. And what he's saying to them is he says to us, stop it now. Stop it now. Did I tell you I was going to give you some points at this point? Number one. In this passage of Scripture, this part of it, it says, he that maligns or slanders speaks evil of the law. The one speaking against a brother judges his brother and speaks evil against the law. I don't know what you do. I don't even know how you think all the way. But if I were you and looking at this verse, I would be looking to see if I could find another word like the word the preacher taught me in the first part of the verse. Now, I don't know whether you do that or not. I don't understand your mind, how you work. This is what I would do. I would look at this part of the verse and I would see if there are words here in the Koine Greek that are similar to the words in the first part of the verse. And so, since you're already doing that, let me do it for you. If you look at this word, it's similar to the word that we saw in the first part of the verse. And I noticed also that though it's a participle, it comes from the same root word that the first part of the verse presented to us. So I'm on the same page now. And it says, the one that's being referred to in the first part of the verse is now being referred to in the second part of the verse. It's the individual that we've told to stop speaking evil. But it says now, if you go on speaking evil, let me tell you something that's bad about what you're doing. The one speaking evil against the brother of the same kind, judging his brother, is speaking against the law of love. Now, time goes by fast. The word law is a noun here. And it does not have an article in front of it, so it means a quality of the law. It's called qualitative law. Number two, the meaning of the law is determined by the usage of the word in the context. And when you go back to James chapter 1, verses 25, all the way down to chapter 2, verse 12, it talks about the law of freedom. The law of freedom. Do you realize how great it is for us to have freedom? You realize how important it is for us to stand here on Sunday and salute the flag of the United States of America and thank God that we can come into this auditorium and study God's Word in freedom? Freedom is a function, number 3, of God's grace. Freedom is a function of abundant grace. Number 4, slander, on the other hand, is maligning and judging the principle of the grace life. Oh, you've got to see how powerful this is. I'm taking you slowly, and I'll come back on Wednesday night and do this again because I don't want you to miss it. The word law is a word without an article preceding it, which means there's an emphasis upon the qualitative aspects of that noun. It means the quality of that law. It's a word nomos, which means law, but it means the law of love. And I have it here. Oh my, do I have it. I found so many verses of Scripture that have to do with love. And it says over and over again, whatever you're to do, you're to love people of the same kind. Romans 12:10 says, beloved, to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says, let there be no division of the body, but that the members may have the same love one for another. The Apostle Paul used this message in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You see what I'm saying? In other words, God wants us to love each other. Bear one another's burdens. And when we're doing that, we are fulfilling the law of love of Christ. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. That's Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 4:25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one to the other, for we are members one of another. Do we love each other? Colossians 3:13, bear one another, forgiving one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another. In other words, the law of love. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to love each other. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another. 1 John 4:7, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another of the same kind. I've given you 4 points. Let's review. 1, the word law is a noun. It means the law of love. Number 2, the meaning of this word law is determined by the usage of the text in the context. James 1:25 to 2:12. It's the law of freedom, the law of love. Number 3, freedom is the function of abundant grace. Number 4, slander is maligning, the judging, and judging the principle of God's grace life. And let me stop on this next one. Number 5, sins of the tongue becomes an attack upon the privacy of another believer. In other words, what this is saying is that when you run down someone, it means that you and I are out of tune. Sins of the tongue become an attack on the privacy of another person. And I can assure you, a life that is a mature believer is a life where the tongue is under some control. Very important. I have 10 points, and I will start up at this point and continue them on Wednesday night. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together and the challenge of your wonderful word. Help us to see how important it is for us to not be hurling words that are injurious and hurtful and unkind. Help us to be careful what we say. And all of us can be so guilty of using words improperly. But help us to think before we speak. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.